This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
There are developments in the blockades around the country. Whitegate is open, we believe, and also opening is O'Connell Street in Dublin. We're joined from there by Daniel Pitcher, News Talk reporter. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's the scene there? Is it open to vehicular traffic, to pedestrians?
Not quite yet, I can tell you. Only in the past 10 minutes, Pat, under Garda escort, a large convoy of the remaining trucks and tractors that had been located here on O'Connell Street were cleared. Now, there are still, as I walk up, there are still one or two tractors still remaining and then one or two still on the quays. But still a very, very large convoy were moved on, as I mentioned, only in the last 10 minutes. What is happening now is essentially O'Connell Street has been completely blocked off. There's one small entrance that Gardaí are actually monitoring sort of who's coming on and sort of who's coming off. There's an awful lot of confused looking tourists. They are checking pretty much everybody that is leaving O'Connell Street to other parts of the city or indeed getting onto O'Connell Street. So it very much remains closed this morning. Still no Lewis's crossing from the red line down from the direction of Euston Station or up that way towards Talla. It is still, as I mentioned, closed. No indication as of yet of when things might get back to normal here again. But it actually looks like a steel ring has been set up around O'Connell Street. And as I mentioned, Gardaí are monitoring who is coming in and who is coming out of the street.
Any comments or shouts or complaints from those who are leaving under Garda escort?
Well, there were an awful lot of supporters, Pat, as the convoy was leaving O'Connell Street. An awful lot of cheers. The horns were sounding quite loudly as they left and moved down under the Garda escort, down the quays and up towards Euston Station. I did try to get a comment from a number of drivers of those tractors. I was told where to go with my request, to be quite honest with you. Nobody seemed to be interested in talking to me this morning, but certainly the supporters of those had been cheering them on as they left.
So defiant rather than humiliated, would that be a fair description of the mood as they left?
It seemed to be. They seemed to be rather annoyed that they were being moved on. Of course, you know, this, of course, followed on from an operation that took place really early this morning, in which, as I mentioned, under escort of police or Garda motorcycles and the public order unit, they went sort of the other way up O'Connell Street towards Parnell Street. The remaining ones were quite annoyed that they were being moved on. But as I arrived here to O'Connell Street this morning, Pat, it was quite obvious that another operation was being prepared. A number of Garda motorcycles then made their way down towards O'Connell Street again to line up some of the remaining tractors and they then made their way. But as I mentioned, there are still one or two of them remaining here and it's assumed that they're being prepared to be moved on shortly.
One presumes they may be staying with relatives or in the B&B and they don't know this has happened. Perhaps they're snoozing away and they'll come down to find the street empty.
Actually, as I speak to you here, Pat, there is coming up from the direction of the top of O'Connell Street from Parnell Street, one or two tractors now being escorted under Garda, there's public order unit vans either side of them. There's about three tractors making their way down O'Connell Street at the minute. So that mean there's now two remaining tractors on O'Connell Street. Right. So I can imagine that the guards will want that cleared fairly
ASAP.
Shortly.
All right. Great stuff, Dan. Thank you very much for joining us from O'Connell Street. With me in studio, Sinead O'Carroll of thejournal.ie. And we'll be talking to Minister Timmy Dooley, who's joined us as well in just a moment. Sinead, your job was to look through the papers. I suspect on the front pages, one story.
Yeah, just the one story. And really, because obviously it was such a moving thing last night and even into the early hours, really the job of the Sunday papers was to look at what could possibly happen next and also to try and take the temperature of the nation, which we have done through opinion pieces and polls. The Sunday Independent poll, I think, probably will make bad reading for the government, who are meant to be taking the temperature of the nation in the same way. I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have done a good job of knowing what their own supporters want. But if you look at the overall support for the actions of fuel protesters this week, 56% of those who responded to the Ireland Thinks poll on Friday said that they do support the actions of the protesters. 38% said no, and 6% said, I don't know. A couple of things to dive into then from there, outside of just the party support. What is most to blame for the disruption during the week? War in Iran was only 28%. Protesters themselves, only 24%, and 46% of respondents blamed the government for what had unfolded over the last 6 days.
So Donald Trump and Netanyahu and the Ayatollah, whoever he may be at the moment, no responsibility or very little responsibility.
Yeah, it's interesting. The protesters have kind of kept saying that this is not about Iran. Even it's obviously impossible to divorce what's happening with fuel prices with what's happening in Iran. But interestingly, we had a reporter, Eimear McCauley, during the week had reported on what was happening in the WhatsApp groups of these protest groups. And someone had said suggested, should we head to Dún Beag? And someone responded, Trump has nothing to do with it, so why would we go there? So there is a sense amongst the organisers that this is nothing to do with it.
Also, we had daft suggestions that we start drilling off the Cork coast in order to improve supplies, with no sense of petroleum products being sold on the world market.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you find in Cork or Mayo or wherever else. The Sunday Times, Ireland facing weeks of crisis as fuel runs out.
Yeah, and there, like, when you look at public support, obviously there is there seems to be a healthy enough appetite to support the protesters, even if it means taking on some burden individually. But there is some things in the Sunday Times that maybe would change that. Imported food shortages anticipated. The reopening of schools being in doubt is a big one. You would imagine there would be a whole cohort of workers very stressed at the idea that, you know, childcare might become a problem in the next couple of weeks. Retailers and shops may run out of stock if deliveries aren't further hit. And even if you think about, you know, retailers today maybe not getting footfall because people will avoid particularly Dublin City, you know, there will be knock-on effects that the government are then going to have maybe further retail groups kind of coming to them saying, well, what are you going to do for us? Because we're also impacted. And we have also been impacted by this increased disruption over the last few days. So the Sunday Times outlines that.
I'm looking at the Business Post. You'd expect from the business newspaper, you'd expect the headline, which they have across the paper, Held to Ransom.
Yeah, and they've also looked at, you know, what's happening in major employers like PTSB have told staff to go home. And probably the only one I've seen on the front page where they've, you know, bullet pointed, the government was forced to cancel a major trade mission to Canada involving the Taoiseach and six ministers, with other international missions in jeopardy. I think that was seen as probably the obvious thing that had to be done. But to miss out on an opportunity to talk to Mark Carney at this point in geopolitics, and to maybe fasten that relationship we have with some other leaders who are willing to maybe not speak out against Trump, but at least not kowtow to his every whim and wish. And, you know, I'm sure we have friendly relations with Canada. I'm sure it'll be rearranged. But, you know, leaders have busy schedules, so that you can see why the Business Post have picked that out, particularly from their stance, why that is something that could end up being a real fallout from the protests.
And now, given the level of support for the protests at 56%, according to The Independent, is there any criticism about how tardy the government was in actually breaking up the protests.
Yeah, so the Daily Mail, the Irish Mail on Sunday has on their front page, Garda boss on holidays as protest boiled over. Garda Commissioner Justin Kelly was on holidays this week as everything was trying to be decided. Now, they're not putting any blame on him, but it also
you'd
just...
You'd imagine there's a chain of command.
There is a chain of command and there was conversations being had. But there is a lot of Garda sources within, across the paper saying, you know, the Defence Force's threat shouldn't have been given as it was by Jim O'Callaghan on Wednesday. You know, that it should always be a last resort. It should, you know, the sense from all the sources in the papers is it should have been very clear it was vehicular assistance only, that there was no going to be a sense of, you know, personnel on the ground. Any personnel that would be seen would be driving vehicles and there to provide assistance to the An Garda Síochána, who would be the security forces. I think the statement on Wednesday from Jim O'Callaghan kind of had people within An Garda Síochána raise their eyebrows and think, why are we going so hardline and backing ourselves into a corner against these protesters who have a lot of power? And that was, again, another consensus across the columnists in the Sunday papers was, when you have trucks and tractors and lorries, you actually have a lot more power than other groups of people who have taken to the streets before.
Yeah, I mean, teachers can withdraw their labour. Presumably doctors, nurses can do the same, but they tend to have contingencies to make sure that nobody dies on foot of their actions. But when you've got these massive trucks and you can, with a couple of them, block a highway...
Yeah,
I mean, it's the kind of power that nobody else has.
Exactly. And so a couple of people, Gary Murphy in the Sunday Times mentions that he thinks that these are selfish protests, more about profit rather than people. He says, what about all these groups who haven't the luxury of transportation and have equally pressing concerns in these difficult times? The protesters talk about doing this for the ordinary people of Ireland, but they are doing no such thing. They are doing it for themselves and their interests, not those of carers, doctors, nurses, supermarket workers, plumbers or anyone else. So strong words
interesting
there.
The people who are going into Whitegate and elsewhere are truck drivers themselves, who presumably are what you might call in old-fashioned terms, strike-breaking.
Yeah, and also they have been intimidated. It would be interesting to see if this poll was taken maybe yesterday or this morning, whether it would the answers have changed, because we did see kind of behaviours shift a little bit Friday evening and Saturday. So we saw some intimidation of truck drivers going into the refinery, one of them being told that he'd come out in a body bag, things like that, which are obviously nasty and not obviously emblematic of the entire protest. I think there's just obviously a huge mix of people within.
Timmy Dooley, listening to this conversation, we'll come back to you for other matters in the papers in a few minutes, Sinead, because papers are full of other stuff too. Timmy Dooley, the question of government action, a bit tardy, some people would say. We were held to ransom, to quote the Business Post, for a week.
Yeah, I think kind of language is important in all of this, and the sort of refrain is about protest. In a democracy, of course, we recognise everybody's right to protest, but there's a blockade as well, and there's a very significant difference between a blockade and a protest. You cannot prevent access to critical infrastructure for fuel. We had a situation in Limerick during the week where it was becoming impossible to get chemicals out to treat water. And we had certain individuals deciding on the side of the street who might or might not gain access to the port. You cannot have a situation like that. And I think whilst people rightly support everybody's right to protest, many friends of mine would talk to me, would explain that they're concerned about the price of fuel and they support the protest, but they don't support a blockade. And that's why it was important that the government made it very clear that this couldn't continue. Protests can, blockades can't. And it was appropriate that action was taken, particularly in Whitegate, in Galway Port last night as well. And I take the reference to the army. And there has been an effort by some to indicate that the tanks were on the street. A member of the European...
We don't have any tanks.
Correct. But a member of the European Parliament gave an address to the European Parliament. Indeed, gave an address saying that he was looking on his phone at tanks on the streets of cities in Ireland. Now, that kind of misinformation...
Well, the thing that bothers me about that, he used to be a journalist.
Yes.
I mean, to come out spout that kind of stuff is a bit disappointing for someone with that kind of
background. I know, Kieran, and I have good regard for him as an individual, and that's fine. But I think that kind of whipping it up was attempting to create a distortion by some, then others that would jump on that to suggest that somehow that soldiers were on the streets moving people off. The only indication when the army back up the Gardaí is for using heavy equipment that the guards wouldn't have to tow away those heavy trucks to move them. And like I will say, from what I understand, what happened overnight in Dublin, that when the guards did arrive and they made it very clear that they were going to use equipment to take away, the protesters pretty much moved their equipment. And you know, I thank them for that. No problem, as I said, with the protest, but we have to get people to cooperate on the blockade. And I think there was a, you know, we saw in Dublin yesterday other fringe elements trying to utilise this for an entirely different political agenda. And that's what happens when you get people upset. So we're going through a very difficult phase. The war in Iran is the kernel of this. It has forced prices up, particularly on fuel, but that'll have an impact in terms of inflationary pressures on other goods and services.
Is there a case, though, for the government looking again at the level of excise? I know you're not to be budged on the carbon tax for, I suppose, very good political reasons going forward. We want to develop a sustainable economy. But excise, for example, and then we did the calculation yesterday, the VAT is put on the sum total of fuel plus all the taxes, then goes on the VAT. Yeah. Tax on tax always annoys me.
And look, tax annoys every citizen.
Tax on
tax. No, I get that. I get that. It does. But if you have to look at then at the cumulative. So the measures taken by the government recently to reduce petrol and diesel by 22 cents, you know, taking the excise and the NORA levy and all of that, has a cost in the state of 250 million a month. So we're lucky enough to have some reserves at the minute, but if that is to continue on a monthly basis, then you're very, and if you're to increase that, and we will have to in terms of the interventions that will be coming forward later today, you then get to a point where you're starting, so what services do we cut? Because regardless of whether it's access, VAT, carbon tax, in a budgetary process, there are line items that link with that.
But shouldn't we be more in line with the European norm, instead of being the outlier at the higher?
I think we're about 12th in terms of how we manage it. But if you shift the burden somewhere else, then are we going to raise personal taxes, or should it be based on consumption, which it is in relation to those? So that's a debate you can have in a budgetary process. But when people sort of willy-nilly say, well, you just take away the carbon tax and everything is resolved. But the carbon tax is already identified in terms of funding acres payments, in terms of environmental supports, grants to retrofit homes. Sure. It assists people with the warmer home schemes. It assists elderly people who get the fuel allowance, etc.
Because the carbon tax has become such a part of this protest, and when a lot of reporters have talked to people, they mention carbon tax as much as they mention everything else. Is this because we have allowed, particularly since the Green Party have left government, kind of green action to be seen as bad for business, bad for individuals, bad for, like, and that is, and you hear it from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, even though you're against this protest, like the idea that there might be climate activists who would have shut down the refinery, you know, it would be in line with what they would like to see. They would not have been given the amount of time that these protesters have been given. They definitely wouldn't have the support of the country. And yet, what they would be calling for would be something that would actually help us out of this situation rather than drill us down further into
it. And I continue to make that point, that there's a sort of a simplistic argument proffered to the complex problem of how you fund the state to decarbonise, to move away from fossil fuels, and the carbon tax is providing in a ring-fenced way, and it's rare that any tax is actually ring-fenced for greening measures, and this is. And that's why we will continue to explain the importance of the carbon tax in terms of what it actually does, the funding stream that's in place to assist people in weaning off fossil fuels so that we're not dependent.
But have we done a good enough job of people actually hearing that? Businesses hearing it, targeted advertising of what these, that this ring fence money could do for particularly fuel heavy businesses.
I mean, we just announced a 100 million project about 2 months ago, effectively telling people that they can get their windows and doors replaced under a grant scheme that's not means tested. That's part of the carbon tax. There was a huge positive welcome for that. But when the cost of putting gas in your car, or the cost of home heating oil, goes up by a quantum of 30, 40, 50% in a very short period of time, people kind of put the rest of that aside and say, you know, how do we pay for that right now?
Yeah, now,
so you're competing with the crisis.
Les, who's in Carcassonne, he says, living in France makes you understand what protests are. What's happening in Ireland is a blockade, not a peaceful protest, which is harming a majority of people and businesses. Yesterday in Carcassonne, I paid €2.39 for diesel. I've seen prices as high as €2.67. My wife in Ireland said the price was €2.10 in Ireland compared to €2.39.
And the irony of that, and that's correct, the irony of that, had the tankers been able to get into Whitegate 3 days ago, diesel would have come out 20 cent cheaper. Now, because of the international activity since, it's gone back up by 6 cents. So what's coming out now, my understanding is, will be 14 cent cheaper than what's at the pumps. That was explained to some of the blockade people. They didn't want to know, because some of the narrative that appears in the WhatsApp groups is very dangerous in terms of what's attempting to do. And I know that the vast, vast majority, even those that are on the blockade, have become wrapped up in the sort of the excitement of it and the expectation that somehow you can slash fuel prices. But there are very honourable, decent people there too who don't want to see this impact on workers getting to work, ambulances getting to assist people. So the actions that have been taken, in my view, over the past 2 days and again last night, were a proportionate response.
Okay. Now Timmy, what are you going... I mean, the Cabinet will talk about this tonight, but what's your understanding of what might be on offer?
So what we have to try to do is put in place a fuel support scheme that will address the heightened prices, and also has to fall in line with our budgetary process, has to be...
But will it be targeted sectorally, you know, the trawlermen, the truckers, and the farmers and so on? Or will there be some sort of blanket help for everybody, heating oil and all of that?
It's really difficult to do that because the volatility in on the international market. So what we're trying to do is work with the different sectors, the farming and the contracting sector. And we had a good engagement all day yesterday with the various different interested parties, their representative bodies. And the same then with the trucks, the buses, through the coach tour people. So it's about trying to put in place a scheme that will meet their needs and expectations. It's not going to be able to solve everything. No government can solve the fallout from an international crisis like the war in Iran. But we have to try and make it manageable. We have to try to get them through that really difficult period, particularly on the agricultural side during the summer months, where the intensity of the usage of fuel is very high. And therefore, we'll have to put in place a program, and the detail of that is being worked out at the moment.
All right, we shall see. Timmy, thank you very much. Timmy Dooley, who is Junior Minister at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Timmy, thank you very much. Now, Sinead is still with us, looking at other matters in the newspapers today.
Yeah, extremely related. Talks between Iran and the US, which failed overnight, and so we've had that news this morning. But a couple of the kind of looks at how extraordinary they were. Katie Balls in the Sunday Times says J.D. Vance didn't want the war to begin, yet he is the one tasked with ending it. Elsewhere, we just kind of get the bare facts laid out just to show us how extraordinary this is. This is the first time a US politician as senior as the vice president has met face to face with Iran since the fall of the last Shah almost 50 years ago. And then obviously we have known that US military vessels had unilaterally tried to enter the strait. That didn't work. The Strait of Hormuz remains
unopened.
Yeah, and
the US was reporting, in the US, they were reporting that they had made it across the strait.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't true.
Not true. And then, but people, ships have made it through the strait. Iran has said it intends to continue charging tolls on oil tankers looking to pass the channel, which have been set at a rate of $1 per barrel of oil. And this obviously shows you exactly where we are at the moment, payable in cryptocurrencies. Okay. And yesterday afternoon...
Not in euro, or in petrodollars.
Not in petrodollars, according to reports. And yesterday afternoon, two Chinese tankers sailed through the motorway, according to marine traffic. So we await to see what happens. Obviously, we've had some fantastic detail from the New York Times and from the new book that's due out, I think, in June, about exactly what happened in the war room.
Very interesting what Rubio said. It's a bit unclear whether Rubio agreed that the Israeli position was, as he put it, bullshit, or whether he was translating farcical for Trump. Because the head of the CIA had said farcical
and we weren't sure if, even though he's the most well-read in the room, according to Leavitt.
Anything light? If Botox is light?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's light, but we do get a sense in the papers, if there is any money. Obviously, we've talked about cost of living and how people are under pressure in terms of their income expenditure, household budgets, but we do get a sense in the papers of what people are spending their money on. Solar panels, which is obviously linked as well. There's a real increase in the number of people, you know, looking to book in to get their solar panels on their house. There is dog grooming. The Sunday Times said there's an explosion in luxury dog grooming. But also there's a few pieces about Botox. Catherine Thomas has a show coming out this month on RTÉ about her own journey with Botox. So we are seeing a little bit of that in the papers. Julianne Corr has a piece in the Sunday Times which looks at what typical prices for Botox are right now. $250 to $350 for three areas. Usually forehead lines, frown lines and crow's feet. And interestingly, we were told that it's actually some of these cosmetic procedures are cheaper in Ireland than they are elsewhere in the world. So that's a real, because one of the things that we keep saying about ourselves is that we're the most expensive country. Yeah. We feel like we're the most expensive
Botox
country.
Botox is a bargain.
But Botox and facelifts. And so Catherine Thomas in her programme has been told that the aim is to be forever 35, which has passed me by, and I think has also passed you by.
Anyway, my belief is you can't fight City Hall.
You absolutely can't. And unfortunately, Hadley Freeman has a good piece in why she is, you know, not going through the Botox and not getting the facelifts. And I'm with her on this. Not always someone I agree with in the Sunday Times. But Pat, you have aged
gracefully or disgracefully, I'm not sure which.
Wonderfully, and still doing the papers on a Sunday morning. So if we can all do that, we'd be delighted.
Sinead O'Carroll of thejournal.ie, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.